Hello friends, it's me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It's me, Alice Slater.
And we're here for another episode of What Page Are You On? How are you, my friend?
Oh, doing good, thanks. How are you?
I am wonderful. Speaking of wonderful, we're approaching the most wonderful time of the year.
The second most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
IMO. Halloween. Christmas.
Right now, Alice is wearing all black. I am wearing a jaunty red jumper.
With matching red lips.
So I feel like we're embodying two spirits of holidays.
We are literally like the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we thought we'd do a fun little gift guide for, like, kind of five categories that we thought could maybe help you if you are thinking of what to buy your loved ones. We're trying, I think we're both trying not to kind of cannibalise our end of year faves list too much with this.
Yeah.
But hopefully you will get some interesting inspo, and then later in the year we'll tell you our fave reads of the year.
Can't wait.
Alice, would you like to begin by telling me your Gen Fic recommendation, so where Gen stands for general, not Jennifer.
Or generational.
Indeed.
So I think, or I always think with gift guides, people often go by like relationship.
Mm.
Which I find really unhelpful because, like, you know, my mother-in-law loves sci-fi.
Yeah.
My mother loves crime. Like, yeah. it's not helpful to think about relationships like that. So for general fic, I have picked a book I do think you could give to any reader of any age and they will get something from it. We have, I believe, discussed it before, but I've picked The Ministry of Time by Cullen Bradley.
Yes.
I think it's a banger. I think it's really fun. It's a love story, but it's also got this, like, sci-fi time travel backdrop. It has elements of historical fiction. It's really playful. It's got a really fun, very British, very, like, Terry Pratchettian sense of humour. And I think it's, like, an all-round banger. So I think it's, like, a safe book to give to anyone who is a reader.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like that's a really good choice for a very general, like, all-round... And I can't think of many books like that. It's almost like, yeah... You know, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Year. Like, it's very much the kind of book that I would be shocked. I can't remember if it's on the Waterstones Book of the Year shortlist. I don't think it is.
Some weird shit's on that.
Yeah, but, like, I would have picked... As soon as I read Ministry of Time, I thought that will be someone's Book of the Year.
One
of the major retailers will pick this as their Book of the Year because it is such a good all-rounder. And that's really, I think, what you want from Book of the Year is something that you could put into any customer's hand and be like... There is someone in your life who will appreciate this for Christmas.
Yeah.
If you haven't read it, buy two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's also that kind of platonic ideal of it's not genre fiction, but it's also not like crazily literary. So yes. It's the sweet spot. It's
exactly.
What every book retailer wants.
Exactly.
I chose God of the Woods by Liz Moore.
What the hell is that, Beth?
Have you not encountered this?
I don't think that's really interesting
to me. I saw this so much on American girlies' Instagram. Like, I didn't see English people talking about this book, even though it has been published here. She wrote a book a couple of years ago that I have a physical copy of, but it's hardback and it's quite big, called something like Long Bright River. Haven't read it. But then I kept seeing people who, not necessarily, like, book influencers, but just, like, kind of cool, stylish American girlies that I follow, they loved this book.
Hmm.
And I think you would probably like it too.
What's the vibe?
So the vibe is, it's about a summer camp in rural East Coast America. The summer camp is sort of owned by a wealthy family and it operates on their land. 10 years before the book takes place, the young son of the rich family went missing and was never seen again. And then now, like 10 plus years later, his sister, who was born after his death, also goes missing while the summer camp is in session.
Ooh.
So it's a dual timeline, like multiple POVs. And I just found it really, like, fascinating and moving and wonderful. And I do feel like it has flown under the radar.
Yeah, I've completely missed that. Maybe if I see the cover...
It's like a kind of grey... It's not got the most, like, visually striking cover.
Yeah. But who published it?
I don't know. I did it on audio, so I've never seen the cover. But it's, like, it's really great. And... I tried to read another multiple POV kind of thriller adjacent book that people kept recommending recently, which was, God, what's it called? All the Colors of the Dark by Chris Whitaker.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I just, I hate it. I truly hated it, so I DNF'd it. Whereas this gave me everything I wanted from... It's not exactly a thriller, but obviously there's, like... There is mystery at the heart of it. Yeah.
Thrilling elements.
Really thrilling elements. And really, like, intriguing world setup and, like, lots of, like, well-realised characters. Does a lot. And, yeah, I really love this. So that is my, like... Under the radar rec.
Okay, I'm into it.
Yeah, I think you would like it.
I love that we've gone like two opposites. I've bought a book that barely needs an introduction.
Yes.
You've got a book that I've never heard of.
Yeah, which really, really interests me.
That's the magic of the pod.
So true. Tell me your non-fic rec, please.
Okay, so I did like stumble over this one a little bit because I ended up picking something which was a personal fave from the year. So it's not necessarily a book that you could put into the hands of anyone. Mm. I picked Feeding the Monster by Anna...
You picked Feeding the Monster by Anna Bogutskaya.
Thank you. I kept saying honor. so I picked Feeding the Monster. So it's an essay collection about why we are drawn to horror movies and what it is about horror that is so alluring. And for me, I just really vibed with it. Most of the movies reference, although it does, you know, Anna really knows her, like, film history. Mm. It has a more of an emphasis on contemporary horror. And I just thought it was a really interesting read. I feel like anyone who is interested in horror fiction or horror movies will find something in this book that they will enjoy. And plus, it's also just a really beautiful book. I think Faber published it really nicely. It's got a great cover. So I think it's a really good gift.
And she's cool. We like her.
Yeah, we're big fans. Big fans of Anna. Or as I like to say, Anna.
Anna. Whereas if you do, this is not my recommendation, but just as a kind of like counterpoint to this book, if you keep hearing about horror films and you're like, that sounds really interesting, but I'm too scared to watch it. A pal of mine, Emily Hughes, has published a book called Horror for Weenies.
I really want to read that.
Doesn't that sound so fun? And it's like her thing where she like sort of distills down what a horror film, like the plot of a horror film and sort of tells you what bits are scary or like why it's scary and like so if you're too scared to watch a film but you want to know about the film,
like if you're the kind of person who reads the Wikipedia exactly page before you go to the cinema,
exactly, then Horror for Weenies by Emily Hughes may be the book for you.
I think the other reason why I struggle a little bit with the non-fiction section is because apart from I love to read non-fiction about horror and cinema, but otherwise the most of the non-fiction I read tends to be food based and we have a food category.
We do, we have an upcoming food and drink category,
so like I'm gonna put pause on some of the other things I thought of and we'll cover them then.
I what chose for my non-fic, I don't know if it was out this year, but it was out very recently, like either this year or last year. It's called Hey Hun by Emily Lynn Paulson. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I have not.
I don't know where I heard about it or why it was on my radar. But it is so great, and it's the account of a woman who got, like, in deep and rose really high in an MLM.
Love the title.
Yes.
If that's the premise of the book.
And it's about, like, her sort of, her rise within the MLM while kind of having the slow realization that MLMs are, like, predatory and evil. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of her memoir of her time in the MLM, and how she got out of it when they make it very, very difficult for you to do, both kind of like economically and socially, that, you know, you build so much of your life around this MLM. MLM, if you are listening and you do not know what this is, stands for multi-level marketing. So it's like a company that operates by like random people as salespeople rather than like buying from a company or from a shop or whatever. It's like you buy from a representative
like
who's in a team.
Like the old school Avon.
And it's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
So you get, you're incentivized to recruit people. And often that's how you can know that something is a pyramid scheme. If people have the potential to make more money from recruiting people than they are from selling product. It's really fun and interesting. She writes very kind of clearly. It's not like the most kind of cerebral book, but it's like, it is well written. She is capable of like a lot of self-criticism, which I think is like nice, and she's just like seems like a pretty cool person, and I really liked this book.
Such a good rec.
Yeah. Hey Hun.
Yeah, I like it.
Great name. So next is our reissue category. So we thought we'd do a little throw, you know, something that has been thrown back to this year.
I want to know if we ended up picking the same one.
100% we won't have done. Okay. There is no way we will have done. I promise.
She's gone rogue.
I haven't gone rogue. I've literally chosen a book by my all-time favourite author. You tell me first.
So I picked Ex-Wife by Ursula Parrott.
I haven't even read it.
Oh, May, I think you'd love it.
I know I'm going to love it.
It's just very chic. It's about a woman in 1930s New York who gets divorced. So she is now suddenly not just a woman and a wife, she is now an ex-wife.
Yes.
And it's just, I just really enjoyed it. I read it on my holiday with cocktails. Like, it's very chic and buzzy and just...
This is exactly the kind of book that in the last episode, I was like, there are all these books that I know I want to read, but then time is just getting away from me and my life is slipping through my hands. So that's like the kind of thing that I'm like, I feel bad that I haven't read that yet. But yeah, that's a great pick, because I do want to read that.
And also, like, it came from the Faber reissue archive, and they are just killing it. Like,
they're slaying.
Yeah. This one was definitely less sinister than I expected it to be. I think because... the pull quotes that they were used in the campaign immediately made me think of books like My Husband by Maud Ventura, which I completely adored. I loved that book. This isn't as sinister. It's definitely a little bit more genteel than you know, I was expecting. But that's also fine because it was written in the 1930s.
Yeah, they're allowed to be like
that. Yeah.
So the book I chose is Family Happiness by Laurie Colwin with a new introduction by Lisa Owens.
Oh, okay.
So... W and N seem to have bought up Laurie Colwin's back catalogue and are publishing them quite slowly, like over multiple years. And this new one, Family Happiness, intro by Lisa Owens, who, as we know, wrote Not Working, which is a big fave from 2017. When I posted about reading it earlier this year, and so many people replied saying like how much they'd loved it when they read it. And she just announced like this week that her new book has been acquired by Virago.
Fun.
Which sounds so good. So this is like a double rec for Family Happiness by Laurie Colwin, which is about like a married girlie who has an affair with a painter and starts to kind of question all of her life choices. And a secondary rec for Not Working and the new Lisa Owens book.
A sneaky double rec.
A sneaky double rec.
Typical Bethany.
Would you like to tell me about your food and drink rec?
Yes. Okay, so something about me that you may or may not know is that
You are the daughter of Nigel Slater.
I am the daughter of Nigel Slater, and therefore I'm going to recommend Daddy's book. No.
Yeah.
I'm actually not going to recommend that, although I do think that A Thousand Feasts by Nigel Slater, which came out this year, is a banger. Now, I've picked a cookbook of sorts, but what I was going to say is that I really love mixology. I learned how to start making cocktails more seriously over the pandemic in 2020. And I've continued to like develop my palate and learn techniques and getting really into it. So I bought a book called The Martini by Alice Lascelles.
I know that name. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's like a big, I think she writes for the FT.
Oh yes,
maybe. And she does lots of like drink adjacent writing. So not just alcohol as well. I think she just judged like some tea award. Anyway, I think she writes beautifully. The Martini is my personal pick because I am a martini obsessive and I'm just fascinated about that particular cocktail, its history and the tweaks you can do to it. But I figure that that is probably potentially too specific. So she also has one called The Cocktail Edit, which just looks at the kind of the premise of there being essentially 12 cocktails. 18,
yeah.
Yeah, like there are 12 like classic recipes and that everything is a twist on one of those 12. So not only does it give you like a nice simple recipe for each of these like 12 classic cocktails, it also gives you like loads of different ways you can riff. Yeah. And like some of which are more famous and some of which are original to the book or more contemporary. And I just think it's a great, if you know anyone who likes to make a little drink at home, it's a really useful volume to have. Also, it's just so beautifully written. I just love the way she writes. So yeah, it's a gorgeous book with great recipes in it.
Love this rec. The reason that I was really trying not to laugh while you were talking, because when you referred to yourself as a mixologist, I was like, I remember the days when the only mixologist, like you have referred to yourself as a mixologist before, but it was in relation to the soda fountain at Five Guys.
That was really, I think, where my passion for blending flavors really came from. That was like my OG intro to the gentle art of mixology.
It's just, yeah. And I was
and
like,
even though like every single fucking syrup tastes the same, so there is absolutely no point.
But, you know, just know it, like, because you genuinely are an amazing cocktail maker. So I didn't want to be, like, you know, diminishing your authority by being like, I remember when you used to be a Five Guys mixologist. But,
listen, that's part of the lore.
But speaking of delicious Five Guys mixology, today alone, you did introduce me to an insane flavour that needs to be getting in those Five Guys machines. Can you imagine if they introduced that? So Alice offered me a choice of beverages today, one of which was creamy coconut Dr. Pepper. Why is coconut, like, flavoured stuff in fizzy drinks not more common? Because this is unbelievable. It's limited edition, allegedly, but Alice says it's been around for, like, 6 months at least.
Yeah, my corner shop has kept it in stock for me.
I am going to lose all of my teeth because I'm going to be drinking, like, 6 cans of creamy coconut a day.
Honestly, at one point I was on a can a day. And I do love fizzy drinks. I'm a DC girly. I had to wean myself off. So I was like, this is a lot of sugar.
They need to do like the... Do they do Dr. Pepper Zero?
Yeah,
they need to do like creamy coconut Dr. Pepper Zero.
But we just need to mobilize. Everyone needs to be locating their local stockist, buying them out. Make sure the demand is there.
Demand so must outstrip supply. We cannot be able to buy it.
Because first of all, we need to ensure that the OG creamy coconut has locked in as a permanent flavor. And, you know, I love novelty, and my corner store has, like, 4 or 5 different flavours of Dr. Pepper. The creamy coconut, by a landslide, is just the best one.
Unbelievable.
And now that, I also, as we're sitting here right now, I'm just like, why not combine my two passions? And I wonder if, have you ever had an amaretto and Coke?
Yes.
Delicious. Tastes exactly like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
So what about an amaretto, Coke, and then a coconut element?
So what kind of... How do you incorporate a coconut flavor? Is it literally with pure coconut, or are there like coconut flavored liqueurs?
So I would probably, because I think amaretto and Coke is already very sweet, so I wouldn't want to add a sugar. So I was making a coconut margarita, for example, I would use a coconut cream that's has lots of natural sugar in it. But I think it'd be too sweet. So I would probably look at doing a mixing amaretto and then something like a coconut rum. You know?
Okay, well, I'm in. I'm sold.
Listen, I'm going to take it into development.
Okay.
And by next summer, next spring,
I can't wait. I'll surprise you. So my pick for food and drink, you were in the wets, I'm in the dries. I had chosen Crunch by Natalie Whittle.
I'm so glad that you picked Crunch, because that's why I was like on the fence. I was like, no, I have to do a cocktail book.
Yeah.
But Crunch is so good.
Well, we get to talk about Crunch anyway, which is a history of crisps, or like a kind of, it's a book about crisps. And it is just great. Like, she has done the research. She has done the legwork. She has, like... There's, like, references to stuff that is so, like, niche and specific that I'm like, you truly... Like, you're not... This is not a vibes book. This is, like, a deeply researched book that in often, like, in many cases is about, like, industry, but it's also about, like, a social history of Britain, of, like, what work was like for people in the 60s and 70s. Like, there's just... It does so much. And I found it completely delightful. My only quibble with it is that there is, like, uncritical use of the word obesity in one chapter, which I find really, like, well, whatever. It's a normie world. We're just living in it.
Yeah.
and, yeah, loved it. I love crisps. Yeah. I'm more of a maize-based snack girly.
Oh.
Whereas this is more, like, potato.
Yeah, I'm adjacent. A potato gal.
Do you know what is... What's your favourite crisps?
Choose
one.
Not to be a chipster, if you will. I like a brand called Zaps that are made in Louisiana called Voodoo Chips, which they blend, like, their three most popular flavors. So it's a blend of barbecue, salt and vinegar, and then like a kind of spicy crawfish flavor.
Oh.
But they're not fishy. It's more like the kind of spice blend. So they're both like sweet and, oh, they're making me like salivate thinking about it.
It's got, like, that sharpness.
Sharpness from the vinegar, but they're kind of sweet with the paprika. They're just so fucking good, and you can only get them in Louisiana. So that's my number one.
Mine is the complete opposite.
What's yours?
Massive bag that only gets made at Christmas time. Yeah. So we're in the season now. £1.80 from Tesco. Tesco's own brand onion rings.
Man.
They are so good. I could literally eat, like, I eat a massive bag with my husband, and we're both like, could eat another one. Like, we love them so much. I think they are truly the most delicious crisps. £1.80. Like,
you know what? If I was faced with a whole wall of crisps, the onion rings would not even be on my radar.
It's just, I love a Maize snack. If you make it puffy, like, I just love, like, an onion ring. I love a frazzle. I love a chipstick. Mm-hmm. Anything that exists in the puffy form.
Salt and vinegar chipsticks. Ooh. Are good shit. I just love salt and vinegar. I want every crisp experience. I want to feel like I'm being kicked in the mouth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, discos as well. Salt and vinegar discos are, like, very powerful.
I just feel like that kind of punchy flavour is way easier to achieve in a Maize snack for some reason.
Interesting.
But I have to say, I know, I am, like, basic white girly in London. I do love the Torres Friday crisps.
They are incredible.
They're insane. Like, they are unreal. Incredible.
And it's just, like, how do you make a crisp that tastes like that frilled edge of a fried egg?
The brown bit on a fried egg.
They're so good.
I tried to get Jacqueline Wilson into them, but she was not having it.
What did she say to you?
Oh, no, she tried it.
Did she say it was a bit farty?
No.
Who was it that said they were farty? I mean, they are quite farty. They taste like a fart, but...
It was certainly not Jacqueline Wilson. She just politely ate one and then didn't eat anymore.
Oh, God love her.
Yeah. So, the final category on our gift guide is a little selfish one. It's our wish list. It's like a book that we would like someone to buy us if they were so inclined.
This is such a good category because Bethany blew my mind that before we sat down to record, we just had a quick...
Little chat.
Nipped over the categories, made sure that we knew what we were doing. We had come up with one category that we scrapped, so we just, you know. And I had taken this at first to mean, like, what I would like to be given if I hadn't already read it. But then Bethany was like, no.
What if?
Think broader. Go wider. Go bigger. Like, explore your own desires. What if it's something that you can't get?
In this country.
In this country. Honestly, you're a genius.
I am.
And I'm so in love with you.
And obviously, I know that, like, you can get foreign books in this country.
But they're so expensive.
And just hard, you know, it's more effort. Yeah. So that was why I thought this is a decent, like, angle for the category. So what was your choice?
So I picked a book called Woo Woo by Ella Baxter.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So Ella Baxter is an Australian writer. She wrote a book called New Animal.
Yeah, I remember it well. We read it.
I adored that book. I thought it was so good. Like, I just, look, if you haven't read New Animal and you trust our taste, you need to get on it. Anyway, so she has a new book out called Woo Woo, but for whatever reason, it's not being published in the UK. Now, I think I had a quick look and you can order it via Amazon, which is not my choice.
Mm.
I'm sure, therefore, it will be available through other retailers as
well. Blackwell is famously good at international imports.
Yeah. So it is going to be available and for not an obscene amount.
Mm.
But because it's an Australian book, that makes me think that maybe the Australian publisher, that, like, they're kind of distributing it in the UK.
Yes.
So for example, my novel was published by Hodder, and Hodder Australia, because it's a Commonwealth country, they also had the rights to it. So I wonder if it's that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Because compared to something like, I remember when Greta and Valden was first published, it was not available at all. And because it's an Australian book, to get hold of it, the shipping would have been alone.
Prohibitive.
£20 to £30 pounds. So that's what I'm thinking. So I might be able to get hold of it.
Yeah.
But either way, time will tell, because it's not out till December anyway.
Yeah, it's a shame that that's not out here. Properly, you know. I think people don't always understand that that's kind of... It be like that sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it just be like that.
Even someone whose previous book has been published in this country, there's no guarantee that the next one will be.
And also, I have to say as well, I don't think I would want to read this before I've handed in my book too, as there is some similar territory being trodden.
Interesting.
Which, you know, my book's pretty set in stone now. I'm still working on it, but, like, I wouldn't worry about it influencing me at this stage, but...
It could make you, like... paranoid that you've already done something that you're reading in the book and that you're like, oh, do I need to take it out? Like, you know, whereas
that's it.
I just think that any mature person within reason at this point in human history knows that there are only so many ideas under the sun.
There's crossover.
Exactly.
There can be crossover and it's fine. I think it's, for my own sanity as well. I've been, like, so deep in this book for so long. I did try and read another one called Exalted by Anna Dawn, which is also kind of in the world of sort of online psychics. And I had to just stop because I was like, this isn't like a break. Like, yeah. This is just me going from my book to something.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't do it. I'm looking forward to reading that later as well.
Yeah.
Also one which I don't think has been published in the UK, actually. I had to get that via Blackwell's.
Interesting.
So what did you pick, Brian?
So I have one main pick and then a subsidiary pick. My main pick is called Housemates by Emma Copley Eisenberg. Have you encountered this?
I don't think so. Your list has been very intriguing and surprising.
Again, another one that I got from the kind of like American girly world.
Yeah.
So she is, I really like her on Instagram. Her username is Frumpenberg.
Yeah.
And she, I like her, I've never read this book, but I really like her style. Like, I think she dresses in a really cool way. She's really into this aesthetic of like frump, as she calls it, and like that's a very like joyful, enjoyable thing that she has cultivated. But this book called Housemates, which seemed to be very popular when it was released this summer, it's a kind of queer road trip novel with a fat protagonist and like two friends discovering themselves on this road trip. And she's written quite a lot about like the lack of kind of fat protagonists in literary fiction. And she is great. So that was my pick, Housemates by Emma Copley Eisenberg. My secondary thing would be Célèbre by Maud Ventura.
Ah!
So her second novel, you know, we talked a lot about, we have in our lives, on the record and off the record, including in the last episode, or even in this episode, I can't remember where it was, this episode, mentioned My Husband by Maud Ventura, which was a book that we truly loved.
Yeah.
Again, a second novel that has not been published here.
Ah, not yet.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if there are plans for it to be published here. But it, from what I can tell, I went to an event with her when I was in Paris. And it seems to be about like a extremely famous pop star.
No way.
Yeah, that's like the premise of the book is like about a kind of Beyonce, Taylor Swift level pop star. And maybe like what it takes to get there and stay there.
That sounds very fun.
Yeah.
But you could read that in French.
Well, exactly. And, like, I feel kind of dumb that I didn't just buy it when I was in Paris. But equally, I didn't even buy a copy of my own book when I was in Paris. So I'm not known for my brain power. So those are my list.
So this, I promise, if you are listening to this episode, I know that we're not always great at posting our book lists. Because we vibe so much, we don't always talk about, you know, the books we intended to talk about. I will post our gift guides to Instagram so you can pop back and have a little look.
Because this is a more coherent chat, I feel. Where we have at least written things down in advance. This isn't just a vibes-based chat. But, you know, I don't think either of us have a problem with if you listen to an episode and you were like, what was the book you were talking about that was about, like, snakes or Stonehenge or whatever, you know, like we will probably know what you're talking about and be able to tell you what that book was.
We will
give you a list.
We love hearing from you.
But do let us know if you buy any of these books on our recommendations or if you buy them for yourself, which is even better.
All right,
see you next time.
Bye.